Day and night, hundreds of sea workers come ashore at the port of Long Beach. And it didn't take long for me to hear stories of death and injuries at sea. This is Erwin, who's been a ship worker for 17 years.
What happened?
My hands was, you know, amputated.
Oh, you lost your finger.
Yeah, the ring finger. When I removed my gloves,
it was gone. Did you get compensated for that? Did they pay you some money?
Yeah. They pay me around $4,000.
$4,000, yeah, for your lost finger.
That's insane. That's just ridiculous. I mean, $4,000, your finger, and this is, we're talking about the ring finger, it is one of the most important things that a person has, especially if you do manual labor.
Attorney Carlos Ginas doesn't know Erwin, but he's represented dozens of other injured seafarers. He says it's getting harder to take those cases because of something called arbitration, which is commonly found in crew contracts. Here's how it works. Many seamen must agree in advance that if they get injured on the job, they won't go to court. They won't sue. Instead, their claim will be handled in a confidential hearing by an arbitrator, who's often paid by the companies. And the companies get to decide where the arbitration takes place. They can make injured workers fly anywhere in the world for a hearing. And if they don't go, they lose.
I had a Honduran crew member that worked for a U.S.-based cruise line that was being required to file his dispute in the country of Malta. Now, Malta is a little island in the Mediterranean Sea that is almost over 6,000 miles away from Honduras. He has nothing to do with Malta. The company has no ties to Malta, but there is no connection to Malta. So they're requiring this man to travel halfway around the world.
Is he the only one?
No, there's plenty. I've had cases of a Pakistani crew member, also a person that worked for a U.S.-based cruise line, who was being required to go to the Philippines. This is effectively like sending me to Antarctica or Mars. I'll never do it, right? So it's all a facade, and all that it's intended to is to get rid of these types of claims.
And if you're Filipino, your own government requires you to agree to arbitration before you can work overseas. Erwin, a Filipino national, didn't even know he'd agreed to arbitration until he lost his finger.
You have to go to the arbitration. You got papers there. You have to sign that you didn't file any complaints or something like, you know.
Do you think it's fair?
Oh, it's unfair.
Had the case been tried in a U.S. court, Erwin's employer would have had to pay a lot more, says Ginas.
Oh, it'd be much higher. I mean, juries traditionally compensate in the hundreds of thousands of dollars for that type of injury.
And they've been known to compensate millions of dollars for what happened to Lito Asignacion. He's a former seafarer who was injured in 2010 on a cargo vessel in New Orleans. We spoke to him in Manila.
We were working at a condensing tank that had some steam pressure. A leak had developed, and so we opened it and investigated the problem to see if we can find where the leak was coming from. Then the water level rose up, and that's when it spilled all over my body.
Over 35% of his body was burned, a catastrophic injury that his American doctor said required multiple skin grafts. But he never got all those skin grafts. Even though U.S. laws guarantee him a right to sue his employer and receive medical care here, a judge enforced the arbitration clause in Lito's employment contract and sent him home to the Philippines. He was awarded just $1,800 by a company doctor.
I was very disappointed that the U.S. justice system was not consistent. It seems to me that they side with the big businesses and rich ship owners, and they never think about the people who actually work for them.
Lito now lives in a slum, unable to work. He can't afford the surgeries.
That's the thing that is most unfair about this whole thing. We are the ones working, but we realize too late that if we get injured, the workers cannot even get anything for themselves. So this is very unfair for Filipino seafarers.
One person not surprised by any of this? Stefan Mueller. As an inspector for the International Transport Workers Federation in Long Beach, he's seen companies order ailing sea workers hauled out of hospital beds and forced onto flights to Manila.
They'll ship them as soon as they can, even if they're barely able to move or still need medical care. And they'll just sneak them out of the hospitals and put them on a flight for the Philippines. There's many flights that leave at 10, 11 at night that arrive the next day at 2 or something. That's the common flight out of L.A.
And the shipping owners save millions.
Well, it's extremely cheap to get medical treatment, I believe, in the Philippines. But the problem is that they can't get a quality treatment. If they're sent back home, oftentimes that's the same as a death sentence.
Many end up right back where they started, in Manila's Luneta Park. This is the epicenter of the global maritime labor market. A quarter of all sea workers in the world are Filipino, and most sign up right here. Aurora Almendral, journalist based in Manila, visited this bustling marketplace for KCRW.
So this is where, like, seamen come to hang out.
There's a hospital nearby that treats sailors who are too injured to go back out. And around the corner from it, thousands are thronging Kalal Street, ready to replace them. And they're equally ignorant about what they're getting into.
How many people do you think actually read their contracts?
1 out of 20.
That's attorney Dennis Garecho, who gives a weekly sidewalk lecture on seafarers' rights.
Sino dito ang pinasa yung kontrata nyo?
On the day we were with Garecho, he asked the crowd of 1,000 who'd read their contract. Not one hand goes up. They don't know that buried in the really tiny print is an arbitration clause. They can't go to court. They can't sue their employer for negligence. And if they're hurt, the company doctor determines their compensation, if any. And the latest rule? Injured workers get nothing until all appeals are exhausted, which can take up to 10 years.
Do you find that most seafarers don't understand what their rights are?
Yes. When they don't read their contract, and that's the basic reason why they are being abused and why abuses are being committed against them.
Spelled out in the contract, a compensation chart for injuries. Go deaf in one ear, you get $7,400. Lose a leg, $39,000. An amputated hand, $29,000. This is compensation that's likely a fraction of what a worker would receive in a U.S. court. We asked the Cruise Lines International Association, the trade group for the industry, to comment on this story, and they declined. Some observers think the Philippine government makes these contracts favorable to big business in order to keep their people employed. 9% of the country's gross domestic product comes from remittances. And at the heart of this story, the American consumer. Again, Stefan Mueller.
To some degree, it is an American story. You know, we want to have everything cheaper and cheaper at the markets. So I think to keep the profits the same, we push the wages further and further down. So I think in a way, it's an American story. It's the old supply and demand story. Capitalism at its finest.
For KCRW, I'm Karen Fauchet.